Good afternoon and welcome to another Thursday edition of Sports Look here in November. So many thanks to our great sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management and Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Tom Couts, Gus Couts here with you, and the upcoming K-Radio sports schedule. Yet just when you think football's over, oh no, we're not done. Tomorrow night, it is the semifinal round in the state football tournament around Kansas, and we'll be in Pittsburgh, where the JCN Chargers are going to be up against St. Mary's Colgan. Tremendous game. Should be good. We'll be talking about that. So that's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock here on K-Radio. Saturday afternoon, the Benedictine Ravens back on a hardwood. A little bit earlier than usual. They got Clark coming to town up in the Nolan. It'll be noon for the guy, or the ladies' game, and 2 o'clock for the guys. Give Clark a little bit more time. They'll be home by 3 a.m. And then next Tuesday, hoops continues. Benedictine and Peru State, 5:30 and 7:30 Tuesday. And next Thursday night, I'm going to be, you know, sitting back watching NFL football and having a nap, and there will be no Sports Look on Thanksgiving, so heads up about that. Because first of all, the high school football playoffs, we just talked about, we're going to have 2A, but we probably, in all fairness, now that we're down to the Final Four, we need to just take a look around the state of Kansas and see who has survived and advanced.
Yeah, so you start at the big classification. Let's start at 6A. There was one close game in the last round at 6A, and that was Derby squeaking by Manhattan 23-21. So Derby moves on to go to Western Kansas and play Washburn Rural in Topeka on Friday night. And Washburn Rural had no problems with Wichita East, so 35-14. You've got Derby versus Topeka's Washburn Rural to decide who is the west half of the state's,
Derby
a representative.
Many, many times. Repeat state champions. Well, they've won 4 or 5 in a row now, and they're coming up against, of course, Steve Buehler's team at Washburn Rural, who is undefeated.
Yeah, they're 11-0. They're thumping teams left and right. So, again, good luck to all these teams. And
there's a Cinderella in all of this, because you've got Blue Valley High School. They came into the tournament at 4-4. Now, at 7-4 in the semifinals, and they are going to be traveling to Gardner, Kansas with Gardner Edgerton. So, Gardner Edgerton, 10-1.
Yeah, Edgerton having a really good season, 10-1. Their only loss came to Olathe East earlier this season by a couple scores, 21-7. So, jumping down now to Class 5A.
5A, you got the East half, and our friends from down at Mill Valley continue to roll along as they knocked off Topeka Seaman 72-42. That's a lot of points. They're going to be matched up against Blue Valley Southwest. So Mill Valley 9-2, Blue Valley Southwest 10-1, and Blue Valley defeated Shawnee Heights last week.
You talk about Mill Valley, they're one of those teams who their 2 losses, one of them came to Gardner-Edgerton, right? They lost 49-10 to Edgerton and then lost at Olathe North 28-14 earlier this year.
In the West half, wow, Capon continues to progress at 10-1. They, in a high-scoring game, 100-plus point game, they defeated Mays South 57-47. And so it'll be Capon and Eisenhower. So, those two teams are, what, 7-8 miles apart, something like that, as Eisenhower defeated Mays 35-14. So you'll have Capon and Eisenhower.
A little surprising, though, that those two teams haven't played this season.
You get in the big categories, a lot of times that doesn't happen, and that's going to be pretty exciting for them. A lot of Sedgwick County attention going to be on that, baby. In Class 4A, tell you what, not what we had hoped to see here, because it is going to be in the East, Tonganoxie and STA.
Yeah, Tonganoxie able to knock off Atchison 57-50. Wow, that game was crazy.
Right? Yeah.
A lot of points.
Up
and
down.
It was fun. It was back and forth. And, yeah, you talked about it. It's not really the outcome we were hoping for. And, Atchison fan probably still a little, upset about how that game, ended. You came up a little short, but here's the deal. That was just such a special team for Atchison this year. And again, what a magical run they had this year.
Oh, my gosh, fantastic season, end of the year, with 10 wins. There are not many schools who get double-digit Ws, you know, at any level.
So and then you travel out to Western Kansas, and it's the Red Raiders of Wamego going to be hosting Andover Central. Wamego comes into the ballgame at 9-2 overall. Andover Central at 8-3. Andover Central had a rough three-game spell, right? So from September 22nd to October 6th, they lost three in a row. They lost to Eisenhower 41-17, lost to just Goddard 35-21, and then a one-point loss to Salina Central. So, but then they bounced back and played pretty well since then.
Class 3A, it's flashback time, okay? For, what, a decade or more, it was always in 4A, Holton, Hayden. Well, now in 3A, in the semifinals, again, it's going to be Holton and Hayden. Holton coming out of that tough Big 7, stumbled a little bit, but found their groove, and at 7-4, they're in the semifinals, and they're going to be traveling to Topeka to face the Wildcats, who, under another Benedictine former quarterback, Bill Arnold, perfect 11-0.
Team names are the same. School locations are still the same. Head coaches for both of these teams are the same.
Yes.
One thing that changes is the players, right?
So what you're saying, there's really no secrets here. There's no surprises probably coming up.
So, yeah.
Everybody knows how everybody thinks and what everybody does.
Bill Arnold and Brooks Barter are going to go into this game, and neither one of them are going to do anything that the other coach hasn't seen before, right? You know, you expect Holton's going to come out and run the same offense they have for, like, the last 86 years, and Hayden's going to come out and probably do the same thing they've done all season. Now, the only difference is Hayden would like to pull out a win. These two teams played a couple weeks ago. Back on October the 13th, they were in the same district, and Hayden came away with a 24-7 win in that ball game. And Hayden would like to do that again and look for the perfect season next week.
I think those guys aren't reviewing that tape. They've got that VHS thing completely worn out, going back and forth with those plays. The winner of that game is going to be matched up in the championship game against the winner of Cheney and Andale. Cheney, another 11-0 team. Andale, not nearly as good. They're only 10-1.
Yeah, but do you realize a theme with a lot of these teams? As we go from 6 down to, what are we at now, 3A?
3.
These are the schools we hear, not just in football, but basketball. And, you know, all these other things. I mean, if I told you that the semifinals included Holton, Hayden, Cheney, Andale, you would say, I need a little more context, right? I mean, you'd think, could be football, could be basketball. You know, I mean, there are a lot of things it could be. Guys,
could be
basketball,
wrestling,
girls,
or cross
basketball,
country,
wrestling.
Probably,
I mean, like,
volleyball.
All of these things, you know, these schools, they tend to be there at the end.
And the thing is, when you get to this level, and more so as we advance here in just a second to 2A in the game that we're going to be talking about, if in high school decides you've got, you know, dozen, 15 really athletic kids, you're set. You're good to go, man.
Exactly.
And then when you go to 2A, frankly, every boy in school pretty much is out for the football team. And Sabetha is going to have Nemaha Central.
These two teams have played once already.
Oh, yeah. And let's see. I could guess who won, because Sabetha is 10-1 and Nemaha Central is 11-0. So I got an idea who got that dub.
Back on October the 20th, that game being played at Sabetha. This time it would be played at Seneca. But on 10-20 at Sabetha, it was Nemaha Central winning 28-0. So for Sabetha, no secret, you got to score if you're going to win.
Yeah, and Sabetha scoring 71, 45, 49. They're certainly able to put some points on the board. And Nemaha Central has just been stunning all season long. I mean, they've just rolled everybody 48, 55, 53. I mean, they're able to get into the end zone. It should be a fantastic game. Again, look at all these Big 7 teams. You think that, too bad that conference ain't going to be around anymore. On the other side of the bracket, it will be Hoisington. Also at 11-0, Norton Community High School at 11-0. So the four final teams combined for 43-1.
And the only reason there's a one is because
they had to play each
other.
Yeah. And they might not even have lost that one. So best of luck to the Class 2A clubs. Now, we go to Class 1A, and, man, JCN, what a fantastic season. The Chargers come into this semifinal game at 10-1. Their only loss to the reigning state champion at when they went out to St. Mary's, okay?
Yeah, so you're hoping that, you know, that whole St. Mary's name isn't a theme, right? Now you just get St. Mary's Colgan, and for JCN, you look back to the first week, got by Troy, 48-22. Then in week two, they kind of slayed a dragon for them, right? It was Centralia in round two. And that has been kind of a problem for them over the years, right? Going to Centralia, just always coming up a little short. Boom. Score 16 points, come away with the win. Then in round three, you say, you know, you got by the one hurdle. Here's the other hurdle. And that was Olpie. Olpie has been just kind of the other thorn in the side for JCN football. If it's not Centralia, it's Olpie. I mean, year after year, how many times do we see it in round two? Either we're going to Centralia or we're going to Olpie. You know? But JCN comes away with a huge win, 52-0 over Olpie. Now, they move on to play a team who probably don't have a whole lot of familiarity with over the years, and that's St. Mary's Colgan.
Yeah, and I have people say, wow, what's JCN's chances right now? And I tell them, I said, what are their chances? This is a team on a magical run. This is a team that's really good. And they have defeated those two hurdles that you talked about. They knock off their first problem with Centralia. They knock off Olpie. Why can't they knock off the undefeated St. Mary's Colgan?
Yeah, so we talk about this all the time with bad teams, okay? We say, the longer you let a bad team play with you, the more confidence they get and they realize they're a good team. But for JCN, they're a good team who now keeps looking in the mirror and saying, maybe we're a really good team, right? Because as you continue to win, you're like, oh, you know, everybody says we can't beat Centralia. Boom, you beat Centralia. And then everybody kind of doubts you on Olpie. You housed Olpie. Now all of a sudden you're saying, bring on anybody. You know, I'll play St. Mary's. I'll play whoever I need to right now. But, again, you keep putting them in front of us. We're going to keep knocking down those and moving on. Nothing's going to get between us and that state championship game. So, for JCN, why not? You know, so, again, it should be a fun game. JCN scores a lot of points. That should help them.
And we talk about it all the time, too. You can't compare scores. However, there is a common opponent in all of this, okay? You've got Jackson Heights. And St. Mary's defeats Jackson Heights in the second round of the postseason 14-6. It was the other St. Mary's doing that.
Yeah.
But a 14-6 game. And then they play Colgan and play them tough. So, I mean, you look at these schools, you look at these teams, and you're saying, you know what? We're in the hunt for this. We can absolutely win this game.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you even look back at the first game of the year against Frontenac. I mean, like, they've played some close games, but they really haven't been in many tight games. So, again, if you can get them in a tight game, see how they respond. And, again, we always talk about it. Come out, punch them in the mouth early and see what happens. And for JCN, they're having a magical run, much like we talked about it earlier about the Atchison run and how fantastic that's been all season. I mean, for JCN fans, sit down and enjoy this. I mean, you've got 10 wins. And it's just been fun this year. I mean, if you think about the games that we've been at this season and seen them, this is a fun team to watch. So, again, support them, have lots of fun, enjoy the ride.
And if you're a fan of bracketology, you're saying, spot on here, baby, because in the East, St. Mary's Colgan and JCN, 1-2. In the West, Conway Springs and Medicine Lodge, the 1-2 teams in the West. All of them have come now to the Final Four.
Yeah, you talk about Conway Springs. The Cardinals are a team who lost their first two games of the season. They lost at Garden Plain and lost versus Kingman. And then they've only turned around to knock 9 wins off in a row. So, again, should be good. Medicine Lodge is a team they played back on September 22nd. They defeated them 40-34. So, again, that was a close enough game that it should be a fantastic rematch.
Okay, so best of luck to the Chargers. And again, of course, we'll be down there with them here on Care Radio Friday night. Quickly, eight man, you're going to have Linden and Care Paravel at Linden.
That Linden is now eight man.
Drop down the Lion. And El Saline is going to be traveling to one of your favorite towns, Leody.
There you go. In 8-man Division 2, it's Frankfurt versus Axtell. I don't think either of those towns are really a thing. Victoria versus South Central. So, not familiar with some of these places.
Oh, Victoria, right on I-70.
Cathedral
of the Plains.
Right.
The twin spires.
Can I tell you? I'm more familiar with Victoria than I am Axtell or Frankfurt.
Some great BC football players have come from Victoria, Kansas. So. There you have it. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. We got tons more to talk about. Sports Look continues on Care Radio right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look on Care Radio. Good to have you along with us on this Thursday evening. And Gus, we've been talking about football, but basketball, of course, has taken center stage last night down in Baldwin City. Benedictine travels down, splits a pair. Opening game, boy, I tell you what, Lady Ravens, they just played really, really, really well, and got to be proud of how that went for them. And Coach Folsom's got to be pleased to have a 1-0 start in the conference season as the BC Ladies are now 2-2 and 1-0. Baker having their struggles. They are now 0-5 on the ladies' side.
Yeah, Benedictine started that game on a 21-2 run, right?
Yes.
I mean, and finally Torrey just had to stop it. But when it's all said and done, I know that you're like, man, Baker's 0-5. But if there's a coach that can figure it out, it's probably Torrey.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I feel like, is the talent there? You don't know that exactly just yet, but is there a coach that can figure it out? And she probably can.
Talking about figuring out, Jennifer Jacobs has got a little something figured out because she's coming out there. She's like looking like she's ready to go. Jennifer with 16 points, double figures also for Aaliyah Raines and Kennedy Nicholson, 16, 11, and 10 for the three of those. Benedictine, I'm telling you what, they just rolled up 70 points. Pretty good number.
Yeah, you talk about the Jennifer Jacobs. You like the 16 points. I like the 10 rebounds, you know. So a good start for her. For Benedictine, I mean, just a nice way to start off the conference. And that's a place where over the years the Ravens have struggled a little bit, is playing at Baker. So when it's all said and done, the Ravens shoot 47% from the field, 41% from behind the arc. They get 10 more rebounds than Baker. But the one number, you know how coaches always have to find that number, it's turnovers, right? Just a little high on the turnovers, but you kind of wonder if maybe you chalk some of that up to you're just way ahead, so
those
you're kind of coasting a little
late.
Bit.
Yeah.
So anyway, when it's all said and done, though, the Lady Ravens led by 30. They never trailed in the ball game. So, again, lots of good things to take away.
BC guys came up a little bit short, got behind early in the game, and were doing that difficult pushing the rock up the hill business and battled from behind. BC guys falling to Baker last night, but were led by Braden Bell. Braden with a bit of a slow start, then kind of found the range late in the game. He and a relatively new name to Raven fans, Gino Corridori. Each of them had 11, the two BC players in double-figure scoring. I thought Preston Reynolds had a really good game. 3 of 6 and 8 rebounds. Struggled a little bit at the free throw line early on. So for Benedictine, again, the defense was where they wanted it to be halfway through the game. Second half, Baker got a little bit hot, and the Ravens were having to be a little more aggressive and, you know, take a little more risk, you know, in an effort to try to battle back in that one.
So in the few games we've seen of Benedictine, because the season's still pretty early, this team is going to shoot a lot of threes, right? Maybe more threes than we're typically used to seeing a Raven team with, right? And some of that becomes that we got so spoiled with Jaden Bristol being able to drive into the paint and create shots in the middle. This team's going to set out, and they attempted 27 three-pointers last night. But the problem was, just when they don't fall, it's just like any shooter. When they don't fall, you got to keep throwing them up until they do. Well, Benedictine was 7 of 27 from behind the arc, so right at 26%. They were only 57% from the free throw line and finished the night at 34%. So, assists. Benedictine had 6 assists and 17 turnovers. So, see, that's one of those things where Coach Moody talks about that turnover-to-assist ratio, and, again, a little higher than you're going to want it.
Yeah, and so for BC, you know, they're bounce right back. We're going to be up with them up in the Nolan Gymnasium this Saturday again. 12 noon for the ladies' game, and the guys' game at 2 o'clock as the Ravens will host Clark.
So you
get to see the women's defending national champions.
Yeah, so you look around the conference last night.
Clark had a huge win in the girls' side.
So
huge.
Starting on the ladies' side, Peru beats Park 79-74. Clark knocks off Central 101-74 in Dubuque. Graceland sneaks past William Penn on the ladies' side, which I think surprises me a little bit, 71-70. Grandview over Mount Mercy, 73-59. But I think the team that maybe you've got to watch out for this year, Missouri Valley. Right? Ben Lister is now in his third season. He's starting to put together the players in the program that he wants to see. And Donya, Missouri Valley at home, takes Mid-America to overtime, and then Valley wins, 84-78. So,
well, in the guys' games last night, some things were not a surprise. Okay, Grandview over Mount Mercy, not a surprise. Park beat Peru State, 82-66, maybe a surprise only in the distance involved. Tremendous game between Central Methodist and Clark up in Dubuque, and Central Methodist wins it, 78-77. You had Mid-America scoring 103 to beat Missouri Valley, but the big shocker to me, Gus, is in Oskaloosa, in the Penn Gym, Graceland beats Penn 81-69. I did not see a 12-point win on the road for Graceland at Penn.
Yeah, and especially holding Penn to only 69 points. I'm going to tell you,
that's halftime for those guys.
Practice probably isn't going to be fun for John Henry's squad here this afternoon or this evening, so... Games going on around the conference on Saturday. We'll have Clark and Benedictine. That's a noon and 2. Mount Mercy is going to be an early game as they'll be at Peru State. Then in the... Wow. Okay. So
it's
this,
crazy.
Yeah. So, the 2-4 game will be Baker at Grandview. 3-5 we'll see Penn at Park. And then 4-6 we'll see Culver Stockton in Mid-America in Olathe.
Yeah,
wow.
So what that means is after you see the two Benedictine games, you could easily go down to Park or Mid-America and catch two, which would really make for a very full and fun Saturday.
That would definitely fill up your day.
And then, in just a bit of an odd twist, there is a Sunday game.
Yeah, there's a Sunday game, Graceland at Missouri Valley. We went to Marshall a couple of years ago for a Sunday game, you know. I think it's
my guess
weather
is
they've
issue. They're hosting some big wrestling tournament or something, and the gymnasium's going to be covered up with mats and stuff, I suspect.
And next week, because of Thursday being the holiday, going to have Tuesday games, okay? So the Tuesday games will be Park at Mid-America, Penn at Mercy, Valley at Baker, Central Methodist at Culver Stockton, Graceland home with Grandview, and you'll have Columbia College going to Dubuque.
Yep.
If I were Columbia, I'm thinking, why did I pick that?
So. And, of course, the game that we'll have next Tuesday, November the 21st, will be Benedictine at home with Peru State Bobcats. Tell you what, we're taking a quick break. We're going to come back, visit with Benedictine football offensive lineman. This guy's great. Great interview, fun guy to talk to, Rashad Beckham. We'll be back. Sports Look continues right after this. Hey, today we've got Rashad Beckham with us, offensive lineman for the Benedictine. Rashad, it's good to meet you, man. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. All right, we're going to start off with a little conversation with the Rashad bio. Tell me a little bit about home and where you're from and maybe siblings, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, obviously, my name's Rashad Beckham, play center, number 51, from California, Oceanside to be exact, one older brother, and yeah.
Was he an athlete?
Oh, yeah, he did. He played a little bit of football in high school. I think I was a little better, but...
Of course you do. That's the younger brother thing, right?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Okay, so... Mission Viejo.
Yes, sir.
Go Diablos, yeah?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, tell me the truth. How good was that high school team of yours?
It was great, honestly. I mean, we have, I think, my class before me or after me, all Pac-12 guys. I mean, all across the board, even on paper, we're really talented. So, I mean, that's a great special group of guys.
Won a lot of games.
Oh, yeah. Won a lot of games. I mean, unfortunately, lost Centennial early, but Centennial was also a great team.
Okay. Now... That brings me to kind of a question. I'd love to ask this. Are there guys who you had played with in high school, and guys whose names that we're hearing, or is there anybody we know that's gone on to a school that maybe I've heard?
So I was at J. Sarah my freshman through junior year. Then I had transferred to Mission my senior year. But even at J. Sarah, Guys that I've played against, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, he's on the Giants right now at DN. Zach Charbonnet, who just got drafted, we played against him too. Plenty of guys. I played against Bryce Young, JT Daniels, DJ Uiagalelei. All types of guys throughout high school.
Okay, so SoCal, hotbed for football.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What's it like living in Southern California? I mean, you're what, like Capistrano and the beach and all of that?
Yeah, I was in Oceanside, but I mean, as you hear at Oceanside, you're like 10 minutes from the beach. Growing up, it actually feels normal because that's your whole life. But it wasn't until I got here and went back and also met people from like the Kansas area that were like, oh, we go to California for like vacation. I was like, what? Like, I just grew up there. So going back, it feels like vacation now. Like, you just have access to everything. Within your own city, you have sushi, whatever you want to eat, buffets, beach, you can go up to the deserts, you go fishing, lakes, whatever, so.
That sounds pretty, and the weather, I'm told, never been there. Yeah, never. The weather is like it, right?
Yeah, I can check the weather right now on Oceanside, probably about 68. Sometimes I wake up and check the weather here, and I get the weather back at home, and I'm like, oh boy. Yeah, 72.
72 at home right now. Yep. Okay, so when you had come to Atchison, you had probably never experienced like the cold or the winter or anything.
I had not. So I actually visited in February.
Okay.
So I just brought my regular hoodie, sweatpants, and we get here, and they said it's going to be snowing, and I was like, all right, like, I don't know how cold. I've never been in real snow before, and then I get here, and I was like, oh, this is cold. And I remember asking the coaches, do you guys practice outside when it's snowing? And they're like, yeah. And I was kind of like, oh. Like,
because we're also playing outside when it's snowing.
Yeah. Like, we play outside, so we practice outside. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a little different. But
tell me how you got, from SoCal and end up at Atchison, Kansas. How'd that happen? Tell me about the recruiting, how you selected this school. Because I'm sure you had options, you know?
Yeah, I had a few options. So in my time, obviously, you know, quarantine and COVID, it kind of killed recruitment. So I was a 3-star in high school. So I did have like some D1s and all that stuff. And Benedictine had offered me my junior year. They were my second offer.
I'm going to interrupt you. Who's doing the recruiting of you? Who's your contact guy?
Aaron Hauser.
Okay.
So yeah, he's like the SoCal guy. So I think everyone here from SoCal is from Hauser meeting us. But so I'd offer from them. And then he actually kept in contact with me, surprisingly. So at first, I mean, Benedictine, I had no idea what it was at the moment. You're a SoCal kid, you're just going to USC still and UCLA and all that. So I just kind of pushed it off. But he always kept in contact with me, so I would always text him back. The next thing you know, senior year, after quarantine and all that happened, it's like D1s are like, oh, sorry, we're going to go get a JUCO guy, we're going to go get a transfer portal guy. And Hauser was still like, we want you. So I was like, all right. And then took my visit. And then two of my friends from high school, Trey Williams, he's a cornerback, and Christian Liberty, he's a safety. They also had offers. So at the end of the day, we were all just like, want to go to college together? And we're like, sure. So we took our visit and signed, and yeah, the rest is history.
So three high school teammates are here at Benedictine. Mm-hmm. Any younger guys coming from there? Have you opened a pipeline to Mission Vieja?
I've tried a little bit. A few guys I went to Mission. I know. And then a few guys from Mission. I just tell guys, like, if you don't want to go the JUCO route and you want to come to a 4-year, then just let me know and I'll talk to coach and we'll watch your film, or they'll watch your film and see if you get off or not. But
did you ever have in your mind, you know, maybe I want to do the JUCO thing and then do something else? Or when you found Benedictine, did you say, this feels home?
Yeah, so at first I was thinking like the JUCO route, but I knew that after 2 years, like, it's over. Like, you have to go and you have to get out. And my biggest thing was I was undersized. I'm a 5'11 center. Everyone else wants like 6'2", 6'3 guys. And I don't want to go through the whole recruiting process again and be in JUCO with like knowing that I have to get out. So I wanted something more secure. And when I visited here, because I actually had visited Black Hills State in South Dakota. They are a D2 school. And they were giving me this big scholarship, all this good stuff, and da-da-da. And then I didn't really like it. I literally told the coach, like, I went and it was like everything was frozen. And he had told me all the players were like, yeah, it's basically like this all year besides summer. I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to like be here. So when I came here to Benedictine, that's when I knew. After the visit, I had met Leonard, all the coaching staff, and then I had pretty much found out, like, yes, where I want to be, especially myself.
And when you walk on the campus, I mean, I'm totally biased. I'm just going to start right off with that. But, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's definitely beautiful, yeah. And I like, I mean, coming from a big city, I want to try something different, too. I wanted to go to, like, a smaller town, smaller school. Believe it or not, but at J. Serra, it was a smaller Catholic school. And I liked that, not being at, like, a big area. I liked to be at, like, a smaller school where, like, all the teachers knew you and all the teachers would, like, they didn't want you to ever fail a class. Always wanted to push you and make you, like, a better person. So when I figured that out here, I got that same type of, like, vibe from my high school that, like, it's almost that same type of place. So that also added to the factor.
Rashad Beckham with us, offensive lineman, center for Benedictine. And okay, let's talk about the important stuff. Let's talk academics. Okay, yeah. So have you declared? Tell me what you're up with.
I have declared. So I am in sports management. I want to go into medical sales. I wanted to be a physical therapist at first, took a few classes, and I was kind of like, maybe this isn't for me. So I lean more towards the sports management side. So after I do plan on doing medical sales. So
where do you see yourself 5-10 years from now? Are you going to be back in Cali? Are you going to be, where would you like to be when you get there?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. California's too expensive right now. It's just impossible to start a life. And living on my own is great, you know. Getting away from the parents. I mean, I love the parents, but some age you got to leave the house. So, I mean, I think once I graduate from here, I know they have a great, like connections and everything with, like, alumni. It's like the Raven Network. So I know there's a few people, even football players, who have gone into medical sales from here. So, I mean, one plan is to keep playing football and try to play, like, international in Japan or somewhere. I know Pops knows a bunch of guys. And then the other plan is to stay in like the Kansas area and just get a job, get an apartment, just live life, figure it out. And then third plan, if I like really, I'm just like, I just want to go back home then. But now I'll go back to California, get a job and pay my parents rent, save up and rest from there.
You talk about, you know, the family. When you've gotten to this team, I look around this team, I get that family vibe. Is that right?
Oh, that's 100% right. I mean, at first, like, in high school, my other visits, everyone always preaches family, and it's almost like a cheesy thing. But once I got here and actually met all the guys, there's not one guy that I don't get along with. Like, no matter where you're at, whatever class you're at, all the guys actually care for each other. Like, even when I was a freshman, like, I mean, when you get here first day, you're not really talking, you're a freshman. I'm just, let me put my pads on, let me go practice. Brad Burkett, his locker's right across from me. He'd always talk to me. He'd always try to make me talk, open up. And so slowly, you know, you open up to everyone. And, yeah, it's a great group of guys.
And, of course, your position coach, Coach Pops, you mentioned him a minute ago. Mm. Doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Oh, it doesn't. Old school, classic, tough football. Exactly what you want.
Okay, so, you know, you're not playing football and in class 24/7. You're in both of those a lot, but yeah. You got a little spare time. Tell me what you do. What's your hobbies? You know.
So once again with the whole brotherhood, there's another player on team, Tate. He lives in Atchison and he actually has a dam in his backyard. So me and a few guys will go and fish every now and then. We'll fish in his backyard. So
to fish at home. I mean,
at home. Yeah. So I did a lot of trout fishing back at home. And once I got out here, because I came for the summer, so I did a lot of bass fishing. And then he was just like, yeah, come over by my house and come fish. And so we hang out, fish. And
you know, they stock trout at Dam 1 right up here right now.
Yeah,
next
that's
to
what I've
every
heard.
Year.
I've heard in, I think, February or December through February. Yeah, they stock right here. So, yeah, I'm about to go try some trout fishing for sure. I've seen a few guys catch some trout over there. And I was asking, like, what are you using? Like, there's trout in here? They're like, yeah. And I was, cause I actually do catch and cooks, too.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we're thinking about...
can you cook?
I can cook.
Tell me about it.
I learned how to cook when I was really young. It all happened, like, elementary school. One summer, I got tired of... Because their parents are gone for the summer.
Uh-huh.
And they would just get us frozen food, you know, don't blow up the house, be good. So I would eat frozen pizzas and burgers and Otter Pops. And it was a great childhood, but after a while, I was kind of like... I'm gonna try to cook something. I want spaghetti. Also, I don't want a burger anymore. So
there's only so many uncrustables
exactly,
that you can have, right?
Exactly. Until you're tired of them. So I started off with eggs and breakfast stuff, and then from there, and I know how to cook just about anything.
Wow. How good is that?
It was
so, so it's your, are you live in a house in town?
I am in the dorms right now.
Okay, so yeah. Your dorm mates, they come to you and they say, hey, Prashad, what's for supper?
No, exactly, yeah. If we don't go to the cafeteria to eat, they'll come to me. And, oh, let's go get some chicken thighs, and I'll make some rice. So I have, like, chicken thighs, rice, and broccoli. Over summer, we stayed here in town, and the dorms aren't open, so we stayed in the little Airbnb. And I was, like, the chef for the whole, for the guys I was with.
So. That sounds like healthy stuff. Chicken, broccoli, rice?
I made some good meals. I had, like, some teriyaki salmon with, like, avocado, and, yeah, I make some good stuff.
That's nice. A lot of the guys are video game guys, you know, when they're off. Are you one?
I have slightly became one a little bit. I mean, Madden gets old from time to time.
I was going to ask you, so what is your game? What's the one game I don't want to challenge you at because you're, like, pretty good at it?
I would say Madden. I do still play it often, but I've been playing it since I was, like, 8. So after a while, I'm kind of like Madden. But, you know, the new players come out and new rookies getting drafted. You want to use them, so... But I'm pretty good at Madden, and Fortnite obviously just came back, so I've been playing that. Me and probably like 6 guys, we all play. It's called Zone Wars. We all fight against each other, so we just, after practice, go play the game for a little bit.
Sounds good. Okay, favorite Gatorade?
Gatorade definitely has to be, I think it's Glacier Cherry, the white one.
The white one. Gatorade. You see, yeah. I've had a couple of guys say that.
Yeah, that's lately. The best one. The worst one is for sure the worst Gatorade, but some people like it. I don't know how.
Like, early bird, night owl?
I would say, I feel like I'm getting old now that I've been in college for a while. I'm almost beat up now, so I think an early one. I like to, I don't wake up too early. My first class is at 9, so I'm up by like 8, but... I don't stay up too late anymore. I got to...
Get that rest?
The 8 hours of rest is no joke. Sometimes...
Okay, now, you kind of alluded to this early in our conversation. We've got Rashad Beckham with us, center for Benedictine, and you alluded to this a little bit earlier. So many things to do in SoCal. Now, I've never been there. It's summertime, off-season, you're at home. I find myself there and bump into you. Where are you taking me, man? Where are we going? What are we doing? And most importantly, you look at me, I love a meal.
Yeah.
Where are you taking me to eat and what are we having?
All right, so we can start off. I'll take you fishing. Me and my friend, we go fishing. It's called the Carlsbad Lagoon, and we catch halibut. It's kind of like flounder, but it's like an ocean type of flounder. So we go fish there in the morning, and then you're at the beach, so it starts to heat up a little bit, and it's summertime. So we throw the poles back in the car and we go jump in the water for a little bit, swim around. And then there's a spot on the coast. It's called Coast Highway. It's called Angelo's. So we'll go there. It's kind of like an American diner type drive-through type place. So go there, get some meal.
What's on the menu that I'm going to like? Give me
they
some.
Have about... So they do have like burgers, fries and all that, but they also have like gyro meat.
Huh?
Do you like gyro at all?
Sure.
So they have like these gyro sandwiches that they're really good. So I get those. Have you had Korean barbecue?
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Spicy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So they have like Korean barbecue. It's like all you can eat. They bring out a bunch of meat. You cook it. Eat with rice. Go there. There's a Mexican. You actually have to have the Mexican food in California. Uh-huh. Kansas, you know, I mean, I love Kansas and everything, but the Mexican food is just...
It's different.
Yeah, it's different than California, so... there's a thing called a Brian burrito. It's called a California burrito. It's like carne asada burrito with fries in it. And they double wrap it in a quesadilla with a taquito in the middle.
Oh, now you're talking.
It's like bigger than my forearm. I can't even finish it personally, so... But those are like our 3 spots we go to.
All right, I like it. Let's see, a movie, okay? Everybody's got like a movie they like... What's your number one movie? You can't see it too many times, and you know most of the lines.
Yeah. So, number one movie, I have to say Nacho Libre or Wolf on Wall Street.
Okay.
I know those are two.
Well, that covers the whole spectrum
right
there.
Yeah, exactly. Nacho Libre is just classic Jack Black movie. Love it. And then Wolf on Wall Street, I used to watch it as a kid just all the time. Just be like, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio, that guy's awesome. Like, look at him, he's making money and living the life. So
awesome. Okay, we're going to get you out of here, but I have one more question. This is the toughest question I'm going to ask you, so I understand that this isn't going to be easy. Mm-hmm. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, what is it?
Superman, Batman, that is
for tough. If you need, maybe there's somebody else.
I personally like Deadpool.
There you go.
Yeah, that's my favorite Marvel character is Deadpool, just because I mean, he just talks trash. He's funny. He's really, he's more like a vigilante. He's not really like a superhero. He tries to be good, and I think it's the second movie. But he ends up like killing someone by accident, and he's a classic.
Okay, so is this like Rashad's alter ego, maybe the kind of the funny guy with the, you know, with the tough streak?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd say that tough guy, Superman. I think all little kids love him because he's like really good guy, all that. Batman's all right, or Spider-Man. I don't like Spider-Man. I've never been a fan of him.
That's great, Rashad. It's been a pleasure, man. It's good to talk to you. Good to meet you. We wish you continued success, and you and the Ravens going a long way this year.
All right, see, sounds good. Thank you.
Happy to have you with us here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison Sports Look on a Thursday night. And, well, Gus, the Kansas City Chiefs, I always talk about them as we kind of cover what's going on around. And for the Chiefs, a week off last week, probably came at a pretty good time coming back from the Germany trip and just a chance to get everybody kind of healthy, huh?
Yeah, good chance to kind of bounce back, get everybody healthy. The one funny thing that comes out of that Germany trip, right, is you had a national reporter talking about after the game, he was waiting to talk to Andy Reid, and he said Andy usually is not quick to come out of his office, but, you know, usually within 5-10 minutes you can expect him. He said it was 17 minutes in the hallway waiting for Andy Reid to come out. Andy Reid was having a meeting with his offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy, for 17 minutes following that Chiefs game the other day. So, again, I think the bye week came at a good time where Kansas City can maybe work on their offense and get everything back to where they want it to be. They're going to need it against Philadelphia. I know the Chiefs' defense has been playing good, but Philadelphia coming off a bye, too, they're playing really good football, and I mean, a lot of people right now, especially the people out in the desert, expect these two teams to possibly get back to the championship game again this year.
Yeah, it was a tremendous Super Bowl. There were so many great side stories. And, of course, yeah, this meeting has been very much anticipated and clearly eclipses all the other games going on across the NFL over the course of the weekend. And so, yeah.
I mean, and we've watched some really bad Sunday night and Monday night games, so at least finally we get a really good one right here later on in the season.
Okay, but really, I mean, when you talk Chiefs and Eagles, the big story is, A, the Kelce brothers, but the subset under A, and I know that you've probably got it, and I think Neil has it on the Care Radio playlist, okay? You know what I'm talking about here? The Philly Special Christmas song. As Jason and Travis Kelce put together a duet and have released a Christmas carol. So, you know, as if those guys aren't everywhere enough, let's just go ahead and publish a song. What do you think?
I like it.
It's awesome. So, yeah, you're gonna want to tune in, I'm sure, to the morning show and be listening to that when we get into more Christmas music.
Speaking of tuning in, tonight, Bengals at Ravens. 7:15 game on Prime, Baltimore 3.5-point favorite. What do you think about this one?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that the Bengals are struggling. I don't know that, you know, how good they really are. I think the Baltimore is a team that maybe if there's a team that is improving and has improved during the course of the year, I don't think anybody's improved more than Baltimore has, and they've gotten pretty respectable.
Yeah, and for Baltimore, you know how many times we come back from a game that any team loses and you go, man, that might be a game that you're going to look back at the end of the season and say, man, I'd like to have that one back. And last Sunday was, I think, that game for Baltimore, right? Baltimore gets up 17-3 on Cleveland, and then all of a sudden opens the door back up, lets Cleveland come back and win that thing 33-31. So I think Baltimore is going to come into this game with something to prove. They're 7-3. The Bengals are going to be, you know, down some receivers today. I know that Trey Hendrickson says he'll play, but you also wonder how much time he'll actually play. So, again, I think this is a get-right game for the Ravens. And, 3.5, I just think they don't have any problems with the Bengals tonight.
Sunday at noon, you got Cowboys-Panthers. Horrible game. Panthers are 1-8. You've got Steelers-Browns, and the Steelers are making some noise. Steelers are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Steelers are one of those teams who year in and year out, you're like, all right, they'll miss the playoffs. And then you're like, they're right on the cusp. And then somehow they always end up right there, you know, with a winning record and knocking on the door or in. The Browns are a team who Deshaun Watson finally has a decent game, and now he's done for the year. Yeah. And can I tell you, I know that injuries happen, but, man, for Deshaun Watson, it's easy to just say, hey, I'm not playing. You guys guaranteed me $243 million whether I play or not. So I played a few games. See you later. We'll come back at some point next year.
Yeah, it wasn't the kind of injury that could have stopped him necessarily, but he just didn't want to have any, quote, further injury. And so he's going to call it a season. The Lions are going to be at home with the Bears. Lions should roll through that one. Poor old Bears. Chargers at Packers game that early in the season should have been good isn't going to be. And the Cardinals and Texans, again, two bottom dwellers, you know?
Yeah, but the Texans are one of those teams who, I might say it, I think they make the playoffs. Right, they're 5-4. They're in a terrible division. I just think that they've got a shot to make it. They're only a game back of Jacksonville, who's 6-3. Houston's 5-4. You've got the rookie quarterback playing well. So, again, I think Houston somehow sneaks into the playoffs. And so,
the NFL this year, how can there be so many 4-5, 6-3, 5-4, 5-5 teams. I mean, everybody is packed up in the middle. I mean, it is just a log jam in the center.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's why a lot of teams held on to pieces there at the trade deadline, because everybody, you know, you're always in this thing, and with only one bye and the extra playoff team, it makes it even a better shot for you to make the playoffs.
So tonight you're going to have the Vikings at the Broncos, and there are a lot of side stories to this. Russell Wilson's better.
Yeah, the Broncos are playing better.
The new coach at Denver has really made an impact.
The Vikings are playing really good football right now. I mean, because, again, Kirk Cousins goes down. They were starting to play better. Then they plug in Josh Dobbs, and he's helped this team. So, again, I think the Sunday night game could be good. I'm just wondering, is Fox paying people to watch the Giants-Commanders game on Sunday? Because that is going to be awful.
Everybody who watches that game is going to get a ticket for a free donut or a free
cheeseburger
or something somewhere.
That thing should be awful. Jets-Bills on Sunday. What I hear, a stat that the Jets have only scored 2 touchdowns in the last 55 possessions. So that's unheard of in the NFL. This Jets team is bad. This Bills team turns over the ball like it's going out of style. It's like they're almost allergic to the football. That game could be ugly. The Bills have actually already lost to the Jets once. I don't think the Bills make the playoffs.
No, absolutely not. I don't think there's any chance. Now, Saturday, we're talking about college football, because the college football season continues. And, man, this is the one that people around the Sunflower State have been pointing to for months and months. Kansas is going to be at home. Number 25 in the nation, hosting number 21, Kansas State, the Sunflower Showdown.
Yeah, that game is going to be a night game, a 6 o'clock game. Kansas State is 7.5-point favorite. I just don't see, as much as I hate to say it, I just don't think Kansas can compete in this game if Bean's not going to play, right? If you have to play the freshman quarterback Ballard, they're going to struggle a little bit. So, again, if Bean's able to play, might be a little better game. If Jalen Daniels somehow comes back magically, I think that would be huge. But right now, Kansas State has been pretty good this season, much better at home.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be some fun football at Memorial Stadium. We're looking forward to seeing that one, and we're looking forward to the CAIR Radio sports schedule. It's jam-packed. Here we are in November, coming up next week to Thanksgiving, and look what we've got, high school football tomorrow night on CAIR Radio from Pittsburgh, Kansas. The Jefferson County North Chargers of the state semifinals at St. Mary's Colgan, 7 o'clock kickoff. Saturday afternoon, Benedictine basketball from the Nolan. They host Clark at 12-2. And the next Tuesday, BC back home once again with Peru State, 5:30, 7:30 traditional start times. Hey, got to thank Kamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance Exchange Bank, Petro Convenience Store. And again, we're going to take a little siesta on the next Thursday and put our feet up. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.